Take your Bible and turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 1. And we'll begin our study of the book of Revelation. And we probably won't get very far. We'll probably just do an introduction, an overview of the book of Revelation. So we'll start in Revelation. We'll read down to about verse number 8, and then we'll go from there. Okay? Feel free to ask any questions. We are live streaming, and we'll be recording, and so all that kind of thing. Make sure you can see us. We'll be using the PowerPoint as well, both the board and the PowerPoint. All right, Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John, who bear a record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Now here's a special blessing to everybody that reads and studies the book of Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. That's a good place to say amen. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. The church said,
amen.
Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Now, every eye shall see him, that has just recently become possible. 100 years ago, every eye wouldn't have been able to see him. But now, every eye will be able to see him. CNN, ABC, CBS, Fox News, NBC, whatever. And every eye, every news media is going to be there when he comes in the clouds. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all the kingdoms of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. And in verse number 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless your word. Give us the special blessing that you promised in verse 3. Blessed to those that read and hear these things. I pray, Lord, that special blessing help us to teach the Word of God in the right way, rightly divided. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Book of Revelation has 22 chapters, 404 verses, written by a fellow by the name of John. It's the same guy that wrote John in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. He wrote 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and then he wrote the book of Revelation. John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. The Isle of Patmos is in an area in Greece. Modern day, in the Bible, it's what they called Asia Minor. But today, modern day Turkey, it's actually a place, the Isle of Patmos. Matter of fact, you could go and visit that place. It's a tourist attraction. They've got a place there where they think that John was held while he wrote the book of Revelation. I have no idea. I don't think they do either. But it is interesting. Written by a fellow by the name of John. And the book of Revelation means to reveal. Revelation is the book of Daniel, part 2. If you remember the book of Daniel, God sealed up a lot of stuff in the Old Testament with Daniel. Daniel couldn't write everything that he saw. So Revelation is a part 2 to that, where the thing has been opened up and John was able to write those things which Daniel couldn't write. If you remember in the Old Testament, in that tabernacle there was a veil where it says, keep out, you can't come in. Well, here in the book of Revelation, to reveal, to open. This thing now has become open to us and we can see those things. this was written under a Roman emperor named Domitian. During around somewhere between 91 and 96 A.D., after the birth of Christ. Written by John, we have a special blessing in verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What you'll find in Revelation is there's a lot of correlation between the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation. I'll give you the presence. The tree of life shows up in the book of Genesis. Well, then you don't see the tree of life anymore through the whole Bible until Revelation 22. And the tree of life shows up again. Adam and Eve started in Genesis. Well, then in Revelation you have Christ and his bride, the church, that shows up in Revelation. You have a wedding in Genesis. Well, in Revelation you have the marriage supper of the Lamb. In Genesis, the Son is created. Well, in Revelation, there is no need for the Son, for the Lamb is the light. See, you see, don't get excited. In Genesis, there were seeds that were created. Well, in Revelation, he says that there was no more seed. Genesis, guess what started? Sorrow. Well, in Revelation, he said there's no more sorrow. Right. And so, these things that seem to start in Genesis, and maybe some of those things being bad, the book of Revelation comes around and fixes those things, and it's really a blessing. Now, let's look at the correct layout for the book of Revelation. I've got it written here on the board, and I may draw some more on it, but you'll see it there on the PowerPoint as well. Here's some things you need to focus on. When you lay out the book of Revelation, it needs to be laid out in this fashion. And that's what we're going to work off of through the whole study. Number one, we are living in the church age today. I'm hoping that we're somewhere about right here. And I believe we are. I believe we're very close to the rapture of the church. Now, what will happen, everybody from the cross to here, it's called the church age. This is the age of the grace, if you will. That does not mean grace was not found in any other area, but focused on grace. The church age, right here. These folks right here that are saved, everybody that's saved, will be caught up in the rapture to go meet the Lord in the air. The reason I have it drawn this way, I have an arrow coming down and one going up to meet. This one comes all the way down to the earth. There is a difference in the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. If you get those verses tied up and mixed up, you're going to be mixed up. Revelation is not hard to understand. Revelation is hard to believe. Amen. Revelation is easy to understand. It's hard to believe. When we find out some of the herbs opening up and some of that stuff's crawling up out of the bottomless pit and stuff falling out of the outer space, that stuff, you read it, you believe, but it's hard. It's not hard to understand. It's hard to believe. So there is a difference between the rapture. The reason I have it, now, let me pause and say this because I know somebody may be watching. Well, the word rapture is not the Bible. Well, neither is the word Trinity. Neither is the word Bible in the Bible, but we believe in the Bible. Amen. Neither is air conditioning, but I'm glad we got it tonight. Amen. Neither is indoor plumbing. I'm thankful we have that. The word rapture means a catching away. So the idea, yes, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the idea, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord, watch, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him where? In the air. That's why I wrote it that way. Jesus don't come to this earth at the rapture. We go to meet him in the air. That says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. You say, who is that? That's the Baptist. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's all the Baptist folks. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, we which your life and my shall be caught up together to meet the Lord there. Another place you'll find the rapture is in 1 Corinthians 15:51. And it says something like, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, the souls of all." So, that's why I wrote it this way. Then, you'll have, now this is not the scale, and the reason it's not the scale is because I need a lot of writing room right here. The church age is about 2,000 years. So obviously, if it's the scale, you'd say, man, the tribulation is 3,000 years. That's not true. The tribulation is only 7 years. But I had to have a lot of room here to work, because the majority of the book of Revelation is from here to the end. So you've got 7 years of tribulation right here. And then the kingdom is, the millennial kingdom is 1,000 years. You say, what in the world's a millennial kingdom? We'll get to that. But if you remember, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." This is what the disciples were praying for. That millennial kingdom where the Lamb will lay down with the lion, and the curse will be lifted upon this earth, and that this thing will return to almost like it was in the Garden of Eden. But even better. 1,000 years. This is 7 years. Now, let me say this. The church, there are three schools of thought. If you hear anybody teach the book of Revelation, you will hear them teach it one of three ways. And there's only one right way.
Amen.
This is what we call a pre-tribulational rapture view. This is a Bible view. That means the church leaves before the tribulation takes place. What you'll see is the church, the Lord comes for his saints, and then the Lord comes back with his saints. So basically, we leave out of here like Superman, coming back like the Long Ranger. Alright? There's another school of thought that says, well, the church will go through half of the tribulation, and then the rapture will take place in the middle of the tribulation. That's what we call mid-tribulational rapture view. That's what some believe. It's not a correct view, but when you hear, like if you was to pull up something on the internet, computer, you just want to pull up a study of the book of Revelation, you need to know this because you're going to get that view. And then there is a post-tribulational rapture view, which I never have understood. I might concede that one a little bit, but not the Bible. But this one, can you imagine the post, which means after tribulation, the church leaves out? It don't even make sense. Because we leave out right here, turn right around, get on a white horse and come right back. It don't make any sense. So the post-tribulation rapture view, I don't understand it. The mid-tribulational rapture view, there are verses that if you don't rightly divide, you could get that view. But the only Bible view, and you say, where can we get this at? Can you explain this in the Bible? I can, fairly quickly. You remember the Old Testament, we talked about it in the book of Jude. Genesis chapter number 5. In Genesis chapter number 5, there was a fellow by the name of Enoch. Enoch could walk with God. It was not for God. Took him. Then what happened? Genesis 6 and 7 was the flood. And then Noah and his family, 8 people, get off the ark and start a brand new beginning in a new world. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah.
Enoch goes up. The flood happens. And then 8 people get off the ark, 8's the number of new beginnings in the Bible, and start a brand new beginning and a new world. Now, Noah and his family, Enoch is a picture and type of the church. Noah and his family is a picture and type of the nation of Israel going through the tribulation but protected until they get off in this new world. There's a lot more. Lot. Lot, God came down, said, Lot, get your family, get out of here, because I'm fixing to rain fire down from heaven. Lot got out before the fire failed, right? So many of us. Joseph, the coat of many colors. You remember that story? Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph got a Gentile bride before the 7-year famine. Meaning all through the Old Testament, the type of foreshadows of a pre-tribulational rapture view. So, don't worry about it. We're going up the first structure. It's saints. The dead in Christ is going to rise first. We're out of here. You say, well, I believe in something. Well, don't worry about that. You'll go up when everybody else does. Don't worry about it. You can believe what you want to, and you have a right to be wrong. Now, does everybody see that and understand? Now, I'll tell you something else. Look at, for those of you watching at home, I'm going to fix it to where you'll be able to see the PowerPoints before I post it, okay? You'll look at the PowerPoint on the wall. You'll see in Revelations 1, 2, and 3, you've got 7 churches. And then in chapter 4, the Bible says, and heaven opened, and a voice said, come up in it. And then you don't hear about the church no more. You don't hear the church no more in chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. And then all of a sudden in chapter 19, you see the church coming back with the Lord at the same time. This is what we call a spiritual application view. And so you've got the churches in chapters 2 and 3, the 7 churches. We just read John writes to the 7 churches. And then, like I said, chapter 4, somebody goes out and never hear about the church anymore until 19. It's off. So, if you'd like to stay around and go through the tribulation, help yourself. I'm not sticking around. Another reason, among many, Daniel 9 and 25 or 6. Daniel 9, either 25, 26 or so, says this, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, the nation of Israel. The 70 weeks of Daniel, I don't know if you've ever heard the terminology, but we'll deal with that sometime or another. The 70 weeks of Daniel are determined upon the nation of Israel. They have 1 week left, and that 1 week is 7 years. Don't worry about it, I'll explain it later. But there's 70 weeks of years. 70 weeks of Daniel is 490 years. You don't have to worry about figuring all that out, but they have 1 more week left. What if all 490 years are determined upon the nation of Israel? That 7 years has nothing to do with the church whatsoever. We're out of here. And then he'll start that last week with the nation of Israel. So on and so forth. Now, here's something else you need to realize that will help you study the book of the Revelation. And it makes it very simple once you see this. Alright. The book of Revelation talks about the second coming of Christ. Okay? The first coming of Christ, his birth, is talked about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are 4 accounts of the first coming of Christ. Does everybody understand? Y'all do realize that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not consecutive. They're not chronological. In other words, Mark don't pick up where Matthew leaves off, and Luke don't pick up where Mark leaves off, and John don't pick up where Luke leaves off. Do y'all understand that? These events are happening all at the same time. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are talking about events that are happening at the same time. So you got that? Does that make sense? Matter of fact, Jesus was only born once, right? Well, you'll read about the birth in Luke. You'll read about the birth in Matthew. And all that kind of thing. But it only happened once. But you read about it twice in those Gospels. Mark, don't start with the birth, he starts with the baptism. John, don't even start with the birth, he starts way beyond that. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's way on back here. Come off the board here. So John even goes further back than the birth. Four accounts of the first coming. Alright, if that's true, then there are four accounts of the second coming. But this time, it's all wrapped up in one book and not four. Does that make sense? Give me for instance. In the book of Revelation, we're going to see four sets of sevens. Seven seals. Seven trumpets. Seven personages. Seven vials. Now, let me tell you. The trumpets don't start after the seals are over. The personages don't start after the trumpets are over. The vials don't start after the first. It's not consecutive. All four sets of these things are happening at the same time. That's why a lot of people get the book of Revelation very confused. Because they read and they think it's in chronological order, and it's not in chronological order. You say, can you help me? I'm going to try. Have you ever been to the circus? You've been to a circus? Jackson used to have one there at the Omen Arena. It was a three-ring circus. And what would happen, you'd have the ringmaster. And the ringmaster would have three different rings going on. The elephants were over here, the tigers were over there in that ring, and the clowns and the bull, whatever else is over here. They were all going on at the same time. You with me? They were all doing their little thing, entertaining at the same time. Now, if the ringmaster was going to tell you what was going on at the circus, he would have to tell you, all right, this is what's going on right here in this ring. Now, let's back up. While that was going on, this over here was going over in this ring. All right, back up. While that was going on and that was going on, this over here in this ring was going on at the same time. You with me? So when John writes, he says, I can't tell you about the seals, the trumpets, the purses, and the vials all at the same time. John's got a four-ring circus going on. And he says, all right, let me tell y'all about the seven seals first, over here in this ring going on. And you go through the tribulation with those seven seals. Then he says, all right, rewind. Now, let me tell you about the trumpets. And the trumpets takes you through the tribulation another time. Back up. Y'all see what I'm doing? But these rings are going on at the same time. So John is trying to tell a story. Give it for instance. The second coming only happens once. But you will read about it four times in the book of Revelation. Why? Because John tells the story four different times. Every time he tells this one. Because when we're talking about the seals, alright? We start with the seal, seal number one, go all the way to seal seven. With me? Then he goes, alright, y'all, back up. Let's start over again. I'm going to tell you about the trumpets. Trumpet one, all the way to trumpet seven. With me? Then he goes, alright, y'all, back up. See how you... If you thought those things were chronological order, you would be confused. But once you see that they're all going on at the same time, let me just show you. Turn to Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Revelation 6. And look at verse, well, all right, look at verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as it was a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's not Jesus Christ. I don't have time to tell you, well, we'll get to that when we get to chapter 6. But that white horse rider, the devil always duplicates what God does. And so this is the first part of the tribulation. And you've got the first seal, and you've got four horses coming out of the gate. And that first horse rider is on the white horse. And the nation of Israel is going, ah, I bet you that's our Messiah, because they said he's coming back on the white horse. But notice, he's got a bow with no arrow. That means he comes in peace. Peace to the Middle East. This is totally off. We'll get to this in chapter 6, but I just got stuffed up right here. You ever seen anybody shoot a bow? They do it with them. Three fingers. Women? Anyway, now, let's get back to where I was going. Oh, you won't want to miss chapter 6. Now, here, let me pause and say something about the book of Revelation. Don't come and listen to me teach the book of Revelation if you have thin skin. Stay home and watch it on TV so you can stop that. All right. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, so we're getting down to the end of all the seals, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Y'all ever heard the blood moon? And the stars of heaven fell on the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs when she had shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, as it was rolled together, when it was rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains, rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? You know what he's reading there in Revelation chapter number 6 and verse number talking about him hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne? He's talking about way over here. We're just in chapter 6 and we're already through. You see what I'm saying? So in chapter 6, he's going, first horse rider, boom, and by the time he gets done, we're way over here. And then he goes, when he hits 7, he goes, let's go back over here. Let's start again. See what I'm saying? You can't start reading chapter 7 way out here. You got back up, and John is saying, all right, let me tell you about what's going on in this other ring over here. All right, just to give you, I tell you, look at Revelation, all right, look at 11, Revelation 11. And verse 15. This is the end of the seven trumpets. The seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. What are we talking about? The end of the trumpets. And he shall reign forever and ever. Where was the first of the trumpets? Back here. We go right through it again. So does everybody understand we're going to take four trips through the tribulation to get it all? Because John can't tell it all with one sentence. He can't pause and say, hey, well, while that's going on there. And while the first trumpet over here is going on, or this first seal is going on, and this, anyway. the vow was at him. He pauses, he says, what is time? Once you get that, you can start to see that it makes a little more sense and a little less confusing when you do understand it's not in executive order or chronological order. One other thing before we have to, I didn't start right on time, so we'll go just a little bit here. Let me give you this. There are three applications of Scripture. The first one is historical. The second is a spiritual application. And the third is a doctrinal application. There are three ways to interpret. Well, three ways to apply every verse. There's only one interpretation. There are three ways to apply. I'll give you, for instance, let's take the three Hebrew bulls, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all remember that story? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three Hebrew bulls. Now watch. The historical application is that story really did happen. Historically, it did happen. Three Hebrew boys, the king says, hey, when I build this image, y'all bow down when you hear the music. If you don't, I'm going to put you in the lion's den. Or cut your head off, whatever they're going to do. Or, no, fire furnace. That's fire furnace. I was thinking about that. Put you in the fire furnace. And it's that death. All right? Now, if I was going to preach that on a Sunday morning, I would give you the spiritual application to that. I would first tell you the historical path. It's what happened in three Hebrew boys, this, that, and the other, got thrown into the fire furnace, Jesus showed up in there in the middle with them. If I was going to preach that to y'all on a Sunday morning, I would say, hey, them three Hebrew boys, they're us. Sometimes we feel persecuted, sometimes we feel down and out, and we just feel like the devil's just got us all by the nape of the neck, and sometimes you feel like you're just in the fire, don't you? But I can tell you this, once you feel like you're in the fire, just look around because the Lord's in there with you. And everybody, woo, hallelujah. Now, if I was going to tell you the doctrinal application of that, watch. The three Hebrew boys is a picture and a type of the nation of Israel in the tribulation. The image the king builds, the image. In the book of Revelation, you're going to find an image that they're to bow down to. If you don't take the mark of the beast, they cut your head off. The three Hebrew boys, if you don't bow down to the image of the Antichrist, the image of the beast, if you don't bow down, we'll throw you into the fiery furnace. We're going to cut your head off. Well, guess what? The nation of Israel is persecuted like never before in the tribulation period, in the fiery furnace. Well, guess who shows up in the middle of the fiery furnace and delivers them out of that fiery furnace? The fourth man in the fire. Yeah. They come out, they didn't bend, they didn't burn, they didn't bow.
Right. Amen.
And when they come out, they didn't even smell like they'd been anywhere where the smoke was. Ain't that something? That's a dark classification. You could do that with David Goliath. Do you realize David slew Goliath? The exact place where the Battle of Armageddon will happen in the future.
Right.
David, King David, is a picture, the type of Jesus Christ. Okay. Goliath, the Muslim, the Goliath. Goliath is a picture, the type of the Antichrist. And Jesus takes the rock, the stone that's hewed out of the mountain. It's the Antichrist and kills him at the second coming at the Battle of Armageddon at the same place where David killed Goliath. Does anybody think that at all? Or a coincidence? It might be just God orchestrated that and put it all in.
Amen.
On and on you can go through the Bible talking about that. Now, let me give you this one other thing, and that's probably all. Then we'll have some questions or all that kind of thing. Here's something. Let's go back to chapter 1. And this right here, if you can get this, we will be ahead of the game. Everything I've told you up to this point, you need to get that fixed in your mind to understand the book of Revelation. You see, you just can't start in verse 1 and just start. You've got to lay the groundwork and ride the divide. So many people don't ride the divide. Now, look at chapter 1 and verse number... Look at verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard him, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and so on and so forth. Now, I have heard, when they read verse 10, I've heard preachers, teachers, and everybody say, well, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and that was on Sunday. The Lord's day is not Sunday. I'm not even looking at you because I don't even look at the frown on your face. Because we've been told all our lives that Sunday is the Lord's day. Hey, let's try this. How about every day is the Lord's day?
Amen.
We're just going to give him one? Or just get all of them? Sunday's not the Lord's day. Sunday's not the Sabbath. The Sabbath is on Saturday. Sunday's the first day of the week. So many things we do that we don't even think about. We say, well, we're here on the Sabbath day. We're not really. The first day of the week, that's when Jesus rose. Great. The Jews celebrate or worship on Saturday. We, as Christians, worship on Monday, or excuse me, Sunday, first day of the week. Well, we're supposed to worship on Monday too. And Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay. Now, John being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. When the Lord said the Lord's day, he's not talking about a 24-hour period. He's talking about a longer period than that. Give you, for instance, how many of you ever heard this? Jared Locke was a really good baseball player back in his day. Now maybe you've never heard that. Maybe that's never been said before. But he's not talking about a 24-hour period. He's talking about a longer span than that. So when he says the Lord's day, he's not talking about one just 24-hour day. For instance, and I'll explain this probably start here next Wednesday night because this is going to take a minute. Compare all the scriptures that we'll compare, Joel 2, Acts 2, Ezekiel, so on and so forth. You will find that the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord consists of mainly is the second coming, all out. Okay? I'll prove that next week by turning to all the scriptures. I'm going to explain it right now, and we'll turn to the scriptures later. John on the Isle of Patmos, matter of fact, hang on. I think I got him on here. There's the seven churches in Asia Minor. Modern-day Turkey, that's their actual literal places there. Okay. Now, you see, we got the rapture. Now what I have, I'm just going to give you a doctrinal application now. You see all those churches? I've got them in the tribulation period. And you're thinking, well, I thought the church was over here. Well, that was a spiritual application. The doctrinal application is, alright, let me say something. If the rapture was to take place right now, everybody in this room that's saved would be gone.
Amen.
And leave out of here.
Right.
Christ Church Baptist Fellowship will still have church coming this coming Sunday.
Right.
there will be more people in here than ever has been in here.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Churches are not going to cease to exist just because the rapture takes place. Church buildings are going to be more full than ever before after the Lord comes. Just like it was after September 11th.
Right.
Just like it was the last pastor we ever had, church is full, and then the war wears off, and then people go on about their business and do whatever on Sunday. But I can tell you this, if the rapture takes place on this Wednesday night, this coming Sunday, this church will be full, and then we'll be in the midst of the tribulation period.
Right.
A church that's operating in the tribulation period. Does everybody understand that? So, when you see these churches, there are going to be churches still going on in the tribulation period right here. Now, the Bible says, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, this is what happened. Let me show you what happened. Y'all see John over there? Here it is. John. There he is. After the resurrection, and he's over there exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And so what happens is, the Bible says, John, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So what happened was, the Lord picked John up and put him in a time machine and took him into the future. Okay? Took him up. He says, John, start writing. Look down, start writing. Write down everything you see. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I looked behind me and I heard a trumpet. Behind me. Y'all see? I'm in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Let me get my Bible here. In the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia Minor. So before he tells him, write all this stuff down. In verse 12, look. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. You know what those seven golden candlesticks are? Okay. Look at 20. The mystery of the seven stars, which I saw to my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which I saw, are the seven churches. So what are the seven golden candlesticks? Seven churches. What? He said, I turned behind me to see. And when I turned, I saw what? I saw seven churches right here. What he told John to write? He said, you write the things which you have seen, which you are seeing right now, and what you shall see. And John's standing right here in the Lord's name. I'll prove it more next Wednesday night, but that's not the first time that's ever happened. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, God did Paul that way. Paul says, I knew a man that was 14 years, whether in the body I can, and out of the body I cannot tell, only God knoweth. A man called up to the third heaven, and he showed me things that I can't even talk about. That's Apostle Paul. He went in a time machine. I'll give you a verse. Matter of fact, you can look it up. It's in Ezekiel. It's in Ezekiel 14. And we'll look at it next week. But in Ezekiel 14, the Bible says God picked Ezekiel up. Have you ever heard the terminology, I will pick you up by the hair of your head? That's in Ezekiel 14. Old people used to read the Bible.
Amen.
And that's where they got all these sayings. They got them out of the Bible.
Right.
We don't read the Bible anymore. But our old folks used to read the Bible. And they come up and say, boy, I will snatch you up by the hair of your head. That's in Ezekiel 14. God told Ezekiel, I will snatch you up by the hair of your head. And he took him and showed him future events. So I don't believe that happened. Well, it happened. And it happened to John. John didn't write the seven churches standing right here. Or a book of Revelation. He wrote it as he was. God took it, and God said, look down, start writing what you see. What you see, what you are seeing, and what you shall see.